Okay, good morning. If you will open your hymnals to 127, please. Open your hymnals to 127. We will begin with a word of prayer. Let's see if we're on the internet. Okay. 127. I always like to start the Christmas season with 127 because it tells the entire story. So after a word of prayer, Brian will lead us, Wes will play, and I will turn off my mic and sing, and we will sing One Day. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your grace, for your love, that you are an awesome, blessed God. And you are a blessed God because you've given us a magnificent gospel. It's simple, it's easy, and yet our flesh nature is totally opposed to it. Father, pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you in your Son's precious name. Amen. One Day, all five verses.
Jesus came born to be born of a virgin, you know, the one man by himself.
I really enjoy this time of the year in college football. For a lot of states had some upsetting games. A&M beat Texas, so they were ranked, and UCLA beat USC, while they were ranked, and Oklahoma beat Nebraska in Kansas City, and so don't get so excited, my goodness. Did you go to Oklahoma? Oh, okay. I'm sooner by Barry. Oh, I wanted to add something, but I'm not going to. Okay. And let's see. TCU beat Air Force. Houston won the their conference. So it's a fun time. I enjoy college football at this time of the year. We have some good friends listen to our tapes that are Arkansas fans. And Arkansas made it a fun game. They made it interesting. They led for a little while in the second half and put out a good fight. But okay, let's talk about a few announcements. First of all, there'll be no class Tuesday, Wednesday, and of this week, and so we will resume here next Sunday morning. And please come back. Always, I'm one of those people leery of being gone too long. And my desk may be gone when I get back at the office, and they've locked up the men's restroom. They won't let you in. But I'll have to go around with my shepherd staff and round y'all up in various places. And so a couple of things in regard to prayer. First of all, we have a wonderful member of our church in Florida, listens to all of our lessons, Phyllis Music, and has done so, I guess, since the 80s. And Phyllis is in a lot of pain. If you are a prayer warrior, you need to put her name down for your daily prayer list, Phyllis Music. She is in great pain. And what she has is about that long, but it's in spelling, but it's dealing with the pressure in the brain. And right now they don't know a whole lot they can do. Even the medical profession doesn't really. Medical profession generally has a solution called drugs to everything. I heard a report that over 3 million children under the age of 5 are already being put on drugs because they have such emotional problems. And they're saying by the time they're 20, it's going to be a hopeless cause for these kids. But the only thing that relieves Phyllis Music's pressure just a little bit is either some type of pressure from an acupuncture or a chiropractic or something, and medical doctors don't know what to do. I got on the internet and printed out a lot of things, sheets, and they had one that shows the brain and what all is going on, and it just puts a lot of pressure. She can doesn't affect her thinking and her sense of humor. It doesn't affect her sarcasm, I can tell you that. And she ordered some of the emails and response to things that I get. So we need to be in prayer for Phyllis that something will be discovered by some physician or somebody that will relieve the pressure. I just can't imagine virtually 24 hours being in under pressure unless you get some relief. As I said, once in a while, if that only lasts a day or two, and then it's right back. And so it's just a very, very difficult, task. I said, well, you might want to try some of Satan's brew, some whiskey or something. And she said, well, I'm not accustomed to drink, but I don't think it'll help too much. I said, well, it won't hurt. Bless her heart. Please be in prayer for Phyllis. Continue to be in prayer for John as he continues to make really good recovery. And he's standing up teaching. He's just doing so much. And so it's just going to be amazing when it's been 1 year, his progress. His progress up to now is amazing. But if it continues to develop, how much he's developed. And then we need to continue to be in prayer for Pam's father. How's he doing?
He's doing good. He's doing pretty good. They have him. He's, you know, since he's driving now.
He can drive now, but he has to turn the key on with the left hand. But when you want to do it, you'll do it. You'll figure it out. So, right.
Right foot on the steering wheel.
right foot on the steering wheel.
But they have him going to occupational therapy as well as physical therapy.
Yes, John has to do that. Yes.
And he said that they have him doing like 6 hours of exercise. He says, I don't like this. He said, when do I have time to do what I want to do? Read the paper.
Drive my car. Oh, my goodness. But he's making really good progress. That's what's amazing.
He still, you know, he can do this, but he does, individually fingers, he doesn't really have a lot of, he can pinch
yeah.
those two fingers, but these he still doesn't. You know, he can...
I bet the nurses don't like it that now he can pinch. Oh, go ahead.
But anyway, it'll just take time.
Well, let's continue to be in prayer for a good recovery. I like that. We need to continue to be in prayer for Brian Wise as they continue to try to figure out what's going on in his body and his breathing and how it affects his cardiorespiratory system. So we need to be in prayer that doctors can discover what's going on. I'm not amazed or surprised, like in Phyllis's circumstance and in Brian's, they don't really know what's going on because, I think I've said it many times, we invented the car. How many mechanics can really fix it when you keep coming back?
Brian
will fix it. After 3 or 4 visits, 3 or 4 payments, well, that wasn't it. We'll try this next. Kind of like a doctor, well, we'll take that out. Next time, we'll take something else out. And But the human body is just so intricate. It's just amazing, the things about the human body that are amazing. So need to continue to be in prayer. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, ma'am.
There's a family that my family is acquainted with, the Jaggers.
All right.
And the father committed suicide last week.
How old of a man was he?
About 50.
About 50. Need to be in prayer for the Jaggers. I did a little work on suicide when we did our SAD study. I'm just so sorry. I really am. Putting it in simple terms, I just wish every person, just an hour before they're going to do it, would call me. And it's so upsetting. It's been going on all through history. And American history is seeing more and more of it, even among our children, our young people. I can't imagine, I really can't imagine 13 or 14 and being so despondent with life. When it's just so exciting at that point. You have no responsibilities and all the fun. But there's just so much that goes on in our society for pressure. And we put a lot on ourselves that is unnecessary. People do that in marriage. People do that in relationships. And I guarantee you, you get Jim Passmore's age and you realize life is just too short. And don't have time for too much nonsense and just enjoy it. And having gone through what I went through, I just figure I'm going to borrow time, got to enjoy every day. And so that's a shame. And we will be in prayer for the Jaggers at this time. How many children did he have?
Two.
Two children. And was his wife alive or living? Okay. We need to be in prayer. Jim. And for him and his wife? Oh, wow, okay. There's another wonderful couple that are members of our church in Wichita Falls, Texas. And so we definitely need to be in prayer for Vic and Cindy. I need some time just to drive up and go have lunch with them. Just drive up one morning. Maybe you'll go with me, Jim, and we'll just drive to Wichita Falls. You know how to get there? Okay. We'll look at a map. We can figure it out. I think you go through Decatur, I don't know, but up that way. So we'll find that. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Okay, please be in prayer for each other. People here, every one of us have a prayer request. We just don't bring it out. So just be in prayer for each other and at this time. Now today we're going to take two offerings. The first offering that we're going to take is the general offering for the church. And then we're going to take a special offering for our missionaries. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this facet of worship, the offertory, giving, we're at the very heart of Christianity. For God so loved the world that He gave. We're in a season of giving. Giving reveals a great deal, Heavenly Father, about our heart, our soul, our thinking, sometimes our upbringing. Many people give to control. Many people give out of guilt. Many people give to impress. Many people are hurt when they don't get a response they want out of giving. They're hurt that they didn't get what they wanted. Giving is just such a tumultuous area in our life, and yet, Heavenly Father, it is such a wonderful area of our life. If we give in the power and the leading of Your Spirit, there's great joy in giving, not in receiving. There really is. And we know that. There's a great joy in giving, regardless of the response and who we give. It's just the fulfillment when we're in Your Spirit, of loving as Christ loved us, where He gave His life for us. Giving is a great test of our faith, trusting You in regard to our giving. Giving is a great use, Heavenly Father, of our freedom we have in America, the freedom to do with our lives as we see fit, to marry, to live, and to go worship wherever we wish. And Your Spirit gives us the insight, turns on the light of how to use these freedoms, whom to marry and why, and where to live and why, and where to worship and why. Everything we do, Heavenly Father, Your Spirit, turn on the light as to the eternality of it, the spiritual love of it. Father, we're closing out another year in the history of this assembly. We are so grateful that You have used this assembly as You saw fit over this past year of 06. There's not many of us, Father, but we pray that You'll continue to use us in 07 to spread the gospel to both unbeliever and believer in all of the wonderful avenues that You've given to us. The internet, discs, tapes, and personal conversations from all of us to our friends and relatives. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Tony letting us use this building, this room, to meet as an assembly. Pray that Your Spirit will lead him in the journey he's on. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that You will use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Let's see. This last week, a volcano went off in the Philippines, and it did affect some of Romeo's family. So we need to be in prayer for Romeo's family. What island was the volcano on? Do you know? I don't remember. What island was the volcano on? Do you remember? Okay. Well, we need to be in prayer for Romeo's family and for all the believers there. And it'll be a wonderful opportunity to witness. It'll be a wonderful opportunity to show the effect, the impact of spiritual love and helping others, be considerate of others. So please keep us posted. Now, I'll be gone, but when I get back, let me know. I might give you a call from Missouri, so we'll find out. Now, the Rieslings. Let's take up a special offering. It's Christmas time. It's a wonderful time. There are some of these calendars around. And please take a few moments, if you will, Sunday, today, while we're eating. And there's a lot of good food out there. A great lasagna. And it's got lots of onions and garlic. And, oh, it is so good. No, I didn't make it. And I can cook. I just don't do it too often. But Gigi came over and used my kitchen. And I'll guarantee I'm back in my office studying, and pretty soon that garlic smell just started floating through there, and I went, whoa! And so I went in there and started tasting, and he made, no, you can't put the spoon when you put in your mouth back in the sauce. You can't do that. And so I had about 5 spoons already. That's okay. But got some good food there to eat. But you can go through, and each of the months will show you different ministries. You'll get to see good pictures of the very of all the members, Bill and Pat in NACO, and July, Summer in NACO. Summer's their daughter. You get to meet all of the family members, what they're doing, and a little bit about their ministry. And then yeah, and there's a calendar with it. But you get to read. Another thing I do like is July, while you're looking, you have some of the people working with them, John and Larry, two super people in John Hintz's church. There'll be, if you look in the calendar, they're the two guys next to the van. And what they do is about once every 2 weeks, if not sooner, they will load up their van with all kinds of contraband and drive down and go through. And sometimes they have to hide some stuff. So it's put in the clothes, under the clothes. And a couple of the guards know them now and just let them go. They just, okay, go on through. And in fact, one guard even told them, you ask for me. And you can do that. And because I know what you're doing. And they've got medical things, they've got computers, a lot of things that and we're not talking contraband guns or anything like that, but just things that they don't want taken in. And so computers and Bibles, those things are okay with clothes. And then you will meet Joan Rice. She'll be the first lady. Well, all three of these. Ray Bailey. Oh, yeah. These are three people, two ladies and a man, that go to John's church. And the lady in the red, she's the one that makes up the little packages I was telling you about with maybe toilet paper and a razor and shaving cream, stuff like that. And just a dear, wonderful lady, her and her husband, John, just wonderful people. They drive an hour and a half, and they come to every one of John's classes. They even come in on Wednesday night just for prayer. And Ray Bailey is the wonderful guy. So you'll meet a lot of people in John's church. Not a lot, but several people in John's church under July. But what I was saying about John and Larry, just fun people. And they just go down there, and we help pay some of the gas and some of the things I wanted for us to do for them, with them. And that's what they want to do. And they just take off that day. And generally, a young person in the church will go, or another couple or another person in the church will go just to be a part and to help them give out the things that they carry down there. And it is quite a ministry. So do take time to read through. As I've said, you'll see Grady and his wife Cheryl and their lovely children. Now, she's pregnant. She'll give birth, I think it's April. I'll have to confirm that. But you'll see Pat, Bill and Pat, the father and the mother, and then all of their children, and the various things that they do, and Grady and Cheryl and their ministry into the prisons. And the stories just keep mounting of the impact that he's having in the prison ministry. And now what we need to be in prayer, and this is very important, if you are a prayer warrior, to kind of pray strategically on this. Okay, you go into the prison, and, oh, by the way, another thing that's opened up at the prison, there are not many women in Mexico in prison. They don't do that too often. But Pat, the mother, Bill's wife, is now going into some of the prisons and talking to the ladies. And they're responding. And this is just unbelievable stuff. And people, the only churches that support them are like John's church, us, Dan, because he's not on a mission board. He tried two different mission boards, and one didn't want him because they were too old, and one just didn't want him impressed with him. And so Bill just said, fine, how about you and I going down to his wife, and let's just go into Mexico, and if God blesses it, then fine. If he doesn't, then that's fine. And we'll just use our retirement money. He was a bomber pilot and in the United States Air Force, and he just, that's the money they use. And now the money, and the money, when the money comes in, like we'll send them a check, what they do with it, they just divide it. the five ways. And once in a while, if there's a special need, but what he'll do even in a special need, it's just unbelievable, the family situation he set up. It's Bill and Pat, four children, and then their families. And so they divide, if they get $100, they just divide it five ways. Now, if there's a special need, he will get in touch with everybody and say, Summer has a special need, Grady has a special need, you know, whatever it may be, how about we give them extra? And then they have to come back and say, fine. And so, and then that, they just live on what they get. That's what we get, it's what we live on. No budget. And so some months, as Paul writes in his letter, sometimes it's a feast and sometimes it's a little famine. But you just can't believe the outreach these people have and their heart. They have a tremendous heart for worshiping down there. And as I've said, it's amazing to me if just one or two of their children wanted to do it, follow and work with them. But all of their children, as they are adults, hey, this is what we want to do. We're going to go back. You just got to figure, some of them are going to say, no, I'm going back to America and give me a nice job and enjoy that life. But all of them are what we'll call missionaries in New Mexico. And as I told you, not Summer, but the daughter is going to med school so that she can be a doctor. And help in the various villages. The other son, another son, is getting his chopper pilot license, and he's a mechanic, so that he can fly his sister, who's doing the medical, to maybe where there, some, maybe another member is doing missionary work, and go in and help, and use that to bring people to, because they go to villages. People, they go to villages where even the Roman Catholics don't want to go because there is no money. We're talking no money. We're not talking of the poor. We're talking no money. We're talking they live day by day what they fish or what they pull from the crops and things like that. That's what they live on. And very few religions, denominations want to go. These are the people that the Rieslings want to go in, among many others, but those they want to go to those villages and bring them the gospel. So it is really a wonderful ministry. So let's take up an offering and for them at the Christmas time and for some of their needs. And let's begin with a word of prayer. The disciples, Heavenly Father, in the church, early church, write of how various assemblies would give money to help other assemblies, to finance Paul and Barnabas in their travelings. And Paul mentions this quite often, giving money to people that we do not know, that we'll never see here on earth, but give money to supporting them in getting the missionaries, to get the missionaries to them, bring them to the gospel information, and even to help their lives. It's a great privilege. And we thank you, Father, for introducing us to the Rieslings. We pray that you'll allow us, your grace will allow us the opportunity to be a part of their ministry, to just be a part of some person in some village that otherwise wouldn't have the gospel but now has it, wouldn't have Bible teaching but now has it. Not silver and gold, not laissez-faire capitalism, not luxury, but eternal life and eternal blessing. Wow. So, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings we're about to give now and sending to the Rieslings, that you will anoint it and use it for the furtherance of your gospel. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. In the sheet that I gave you on the gospel, the various titles to the gospel that we're going to be going through, and we are going through now, I'm not really sure. And I mean, I'm not really sure what happened under the gospel of God. I don't know what was occurring when I made up the scripture references. Some of these are incorrect, and then a couple are omitted. And so we're really working through this. And isn't it interesting that we talk about the gospel? And now maybe you have. I'm not going to put anyone with me. I just have never, in my life of witnessing, called it the gospel of God. And yet, that is the most used by Paul. And as far as any of the other titles, none of the other titles of the gospel are more prevalent than the gospel from God, the good news from God. And things that we're seeing are just remarkable things. And so let's begin with a word of prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes and see these things. You know, when we were taking the offering, I was thinking, as we get into Christmas time, and just because we took a special offering this morning, if you decide you want to add $10 or something, it's very interesting to me to listen. One of my little things I like to do in life, I enjoy the old-time radio programs, and I especially enjoy them from around 41 through around 46. And a lot of the programs, just America's so different. It's just so different. But they would have the radio programs and shows around this all the time, all year. But they would talk about, okay, it's Christmas time. And I'm talking about things like Fibber McGee and Molly, The Great Gildersleeve, a lot of these programs, the Costellos, Evan Costello, they'll talk about, they'll have a show, a funny show, on taking the Christmas time and cutting back on giving each other gifts and things and buying war bonds or buying something like that to help the war effort. And so just, you decide, you know, we don't need this gift or that, and take the money and give it to Jim or John or Jim, and we'll add it to the Rieslings. You just can't imagine where it'll go in spreading the gospel. And so I just want to, this is not a, I'm glad I'm taking the offering, because this is not a pressure or anything like that. I'm just letting you know, and just saying this, because it really is impressive to listen to how the American attitude on the national radio at that back in the 40s. But, okay, let's get ready to work on the gospel. I have a few comments, and then we'll go to our next passage. Let's begin with a word of prayer. It is your gospel. It is good news from you to us. It's the greatest news. It's so difficult to grasp it in our whole life. Not just for eternal life, but daily restoration and daily life. Pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. Now, we have studied the Mark passage on our chart, Mark 1, 14 and 15. Kind of look through chapter 1 of Mark. There we learned it is called the gospel of God because God is the author of this gospel. He is the source of this gospel. He proclaimed it. And so it's the source and the author. Then we saw in Romans 15, we learned that it is called, we did this last week, it is called the gospel of God, for it is the way to be acceptable to God, which is what the church, religion, Christianity, all of these things, that's the subject matter. There is a God. How can I be acceptable to Him? Those are the questions asking Job. And it's so clear in the Romans 15 passage that the way to be acceptable to God is not by changing your life, not by being really good, not by going to church, not by all of these efforts of man, but by the good news of the gospel of God. That's how we're made acceptable to God. Now this morning, we will see another reason why it is called the gospel. And it's going to be close to the Romans one. It is with God that we ultimately have to come before. And the next passage relates the gospel with another subject that is very fearful to man. I love this study. And that subject that is fearful to man is judgment. Judgment is a concept that multitude of believers love, and I pray that you don't. It's in our flesh nature. It's taught by multitude of churches. But a multitude of religious people, be they unbeliever or believer, they really love the idea that those people are going to get their comeuppance. They cherish that. They live with that idea. They are waiting for the judgment day. One reason is they're so sure that they're so pure. They may or may not be. They may or may not be. In Malachi, they prayed for judgment to come, and Malachi says, don't be so fast. You're not right with God. Just because you're Jewish, just because you have the law, doesn't mean you're right before God. But a lot of people think they're so pure by their obedience to the law. They just can't wait for all unbelievers. One of their favorite words is hell, and I don't mean as a profanity word. I mean, boy, they love hell. They're going to go to hell. And they deserve to be in hell. Maybe they do just use the excuse to cuss. I don't know. But they're saturated with that. And you know that a lot of believers even think and really want many believers to get their comeuppance. They want believers to pay for their sins and pay for how they hurt them or hurt someone that they love. And they're very strong about this. And they embrace the idea that believers will also get theirs. That somehow they're going to hurt for their sins. Well, this isn't the case. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4 for our next reference to the gospel of God. 1 Peter 4, this one is on your chart. So far they've all been on there. On your table of content, if you please. 1 Peter 4. We haven't dealt very much in 1 Peter, and I have working on this, and it's just another one that maybe we need just to sit down and read. I don't know if you'd... very few come on Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know if I'd get anybody if I just said we're just going to read, but we might need to do it. But 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, what we're going to be looking at, the verse we're going to look at has a lot of mysteries, but we're not going to deal with those. We're going to concentrate on our study. But there are a lot of mysteries related to it. And what I'd like you to do, Lou, is look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For it is the time for judgment to begin with the household of God. Now, we're not going to study judgments. There are many aspects of judgments, but we're not going to study judgments. But what we are going to note is the solution, the answer to all judgment. The solution, the unveiling of the mysteries behind all the judgments. And that unveiling is going to reveal the gospel of God. This is powerful. 1 Peter 4:17, for it is time for the judgment to begin with the household of God. Now, you can't believe what people have done with this passage. It's just amazing what has been done with it. First, you will note in the passage, just as it reads in the English, and it's correct, that this, the time of judgment, this isn't future. It is now the time of judgment. The aorist tense is now. And so many mean, what they take this to mean, and this is one of their verses, I didn't just spend hours looking at my, wow. This is one of their verses for believers judging one another. This is one of their verses. We do have the right and responsibility to judge one another. Another takes this to mean that we're always being judged by God in the high court of heaven all the time. People, let me just remind you. Number one, that is true. Satan, we know, we learned this in Revelation. Satan is daily going up and accusing believers. Always remember that when he does so, it isn't a matter of that you didn't do it. Nearly every time Matlock gets somebody off, it's because they didn't do it. And it's a great drama on how he works through and they didn't do it. Columbo says they did it. Matlock gets them off. They didn't do it. Somebody else did it. Now, when this happens topside, they're not going to bring up false accusations because in the flesh or on earth we did it. Because angels would know if they were lying. See, you and I can accuse one another. It's an iffy matter. Because we don't know all the facts. They know all the facts. They're looking. So, when they do it, when they bring accusation, generally we did do it. But always remember, people, here's the comfort. That's the bad news. The good news, the bad news is they're always looking and they know everything we do. The good news, you have a defense lawyer. You have an advocate, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2. And every time that a sin is brought up there, Jesus stands up and says, pay for it. God hits the gavel, case closed. That infuriates Satan. That just makes him so upset. And guess what? It infuriates a lot of believers. They just don't like that. Now, others take the phrase, see the phrase, household of God? What a lot of people do with that? This is the local church. And the local church has the responsibility to judge believers in the assembly, publicly. And if they do so, they're fulfilling Scripture, doing God's work, so they accuse one another publicly. And deacons that like to do that. People like to do that. This is one of their support passages. That household of God refers to local churches, and it's their responsibility. People, household of God is the body of Christ. That deals with the entire body of Christ. Now, let me give you another principle. While you may fear the judgment of man, never fear judgment from God. Please. Never fear judgment from God. Why? Because of the gospel of God. People, I'm not saying there's not ill effect of sin. Don't walk out of here saying what I'm not saying. Well, he didn't say this, so this must be what he means. Don't do that. There are ill effects of sin on earth. In our lives. And what is so confusing to so many Christians about this is that some seem to get away with it. Always like to use example. Two unmarried girls have a promiscuous life. One gets pregnant, one doesn't. The one is God's getting it. That's God's judgment. Well, if you're going to say that, if that's your conclusion, then what are you saying about the girl who didn't get pregnant? What are you going to say about her? God blessed her? Because she sinned? Be careful. Be careful. With all of these types of things that you do. But just know there are. And we're going to be studying Romans 1 when I get through with this gospel. The second half of chapter 1. With homosexuality, lesbianism. People, there are ill effects to a sinful life. Adultery. Promiscuity, living a promiscuous life, all these kinds of things. There are consequences. Make no mistake about that. But there's always what we're talking about here. In dealing with judgment from God. I don't want you to fear judgment from God. We have the gospel of God. So never fear that judgment. If and we should believe that judgment was taken care of at the cross, why do you fear? Why do you fear? Any repercussions that may come from a people are for your advancement. We studied this under divine discipline in Hebrews 12. It's for your advancement, not your punishment. God's taking you somewhere. Doesn't condone what you did. It glorifies God in what He is doing, if you understand it correctly. So this becomes very important in our study. Now, what will be the outcome of those, continuing the verse, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now here's the all-important word that many preachers and people like. It's that word obey, obedience. But people, the question is, what is the obedience that the gospel of God requires? That becomes the obedience who do not obey the gospel of God. What is the obedience that the gospel of God requires? How do we obey the gospel of God? We obey the gospel of God by faith. The obedience that is faith. We obey the gospel of God which calls for faith. That's the obedience. It's not out working and being good and cleaning up your life to be saved, to be restored. Because the gospel of God is for our believers also, as we'll see. So we're talking about that the obedience that as the gospel of God is faith. Look at 1 Peter 1:5. 1 Peter, just stay in Peter. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Salvation 3 in our studies of salvation. Look at verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1. And though you were not, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Verse 21. Who through him are believers in God? Through him, believers in God. Well, I believe in you, God. That's not it. Do you believe in my Son? Who through him are believers in God, who raised him. All right. Who through him, Jesus Christ, are believers in God, that's believers, who God the Father raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead and gave, God the Father did the giving, him, Jesus Christ, glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Very powerful passage, all dealing with our subject matter. We studied in Mark 1:15. What was the obedience in Mark 1:15 of the gospel of God? Repent and believe the gospel of God. So faith is the obedience that God is looking for. This gospel is called the gospel or the good news from God because God is the author and the source of this and because He has given it to us so we do not have to come under any judgment. It's a powerful concept of giving to people. Let me just talk to you. You believe in God? Yeah. Then let me tell you about the gospel of God. Let me just take them through it. See, if you go straight to Jesus Christ, that may, oh, you're going to give me. No, let me just walk with me now. You believe in God? Yeah. And you're witnessing. Okay, you believe in God. Now, let's talk about the gospel of God. Not just the word gospel, but the gospel from God, the good news from God. Then what is that? And faith in Jesus Christ. This is the good news from God, how to be reconciled to Him. And that's what Paul is doing through our study. So the gospel of God is used here for several reasons. Let's summarize them. One, it is by the gospel of God that we become members of the household of God. It is by the gospel of God that we become members of the household of God. God's just right. You want to be in the household of God? You want to be in the family of God? Here's how. The good news from God. Good news from God, how to be members of the household of God, faith in His Son. Two, it is the gospel of God, or it is by the gospel of God, it is through the gospel of God that there is no judgment. It is because of the good news from God, you and I do not have to fear any judgment. If we start off with the, what our flesh tells, oh man, there's God, He's going to judge all our sins, all our failures. And a lot of people live their life in fear and in guilt and in shame. But wait a minute, let's go to the gospel of God. If we're talking about God, let's find out what God gives us in dealing with judgment. And what God gives us, He gives us the gospel of God, the good news, how there is no judgment for us. Three. The designation, the gospel of God, is used in reference to the message of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles on how they might be right before God. Come in and present to them God. I present to you the true God, and I present to you the good news from the true God, how to have a relationship with Him. So the designation, the gospel of God, is used in reference to the message of Jesus Christ, Paul, you and I, to Gentiles, on how they might be right before God. To the Gentiles, there is one true God. Not idolatry, not all the idols that Rome had, not all the idols that the Greco Empire had, that all of these ancient empires, there's one God. One true God. And His good news is that He has sent His Son as the way to come to Him. That's the good news. To the Jew, the gospel of God is that the promised Messiah is this man Jesus. That's why Jesus Christ, people remember Mark, He went to Galilee, and what was His first thing He started teaching? The gospel of God. I come to you, this is the Son of God, I come to you from God with the message of God, the good news from God, and that good news and that message is that I am His Son, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God. Believe on Me, and you come to the Father. That's the good news. To the Gentiles, the gospel of God was a call to turn from their idolatry, from their idols, to the true God. And the true God is revealed in the gospel of God. Look with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Verse 15. Okay, Acts 14, verse 15. Let's start at verse 14, beginning of the sentence. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul, I wish Paul had never separated from Barnabas. If we studied the Pauline life, Paul's life, I think things changed when he left Barnabas, when they split. And I think Paul lets us know he thinks that too. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, no Barnabas being mentioned first, heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you in order that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Very basic introduction. Let me take you to the true God. The God who created everything. Let me first of all draw your attention away from the idols to the true God. Then I have a gospel from the true God, the gospel of God, on how to have a relationship with Him. Find 1 Thessalonians with me. 1 Thessalonians, in Paul's writings. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Okay, we're just going to read all of verse 9 and part of verse 10. Verse 9, "For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you," the Thessalonians, "and how you turned to God," that's the first step, "to God, the true God, from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven." So, the first thing that Paul does, presents to the Romans and the Greeks, these people, let me tell you about the true God. You know the story in Athens, they had the unknown God statue, a place for Him. They had all their gods. You'd walk in, and you can visit various places, but they have all these altars, and on the altars would have the statue, the replica of that God. And there would be one empty. And the Romans, they put under that a known God. They want to be sure they got them all in. And so Paul comes to that one and says, "Now I'm going to tell you about this one. This is the true God. This is the true God. He is the God over all these gods." I like the way Paul worded it. He's the God of gods. He's the God over all these gods. He's the high God. He's the true God. Not only that, He is the creator of all things. Oh, wow. And got to remember, people, these Gentiles, we sit and we scoff at idolatry, and in a way rightly so, but they want a relationship with, they know in their spirit, in their soul, we know this from Ecclesiastes, there's a God. Well, somebody said, "This is God. Okay, we're going to worship. This is God. Okay, we're going to worship. This is God." They're looking. Paul says, "Now, I'm going to introduce you to the true God." Okay? Wow. Now, we know what we have to do with this God to get to this God. We know what we have to do to please this God. We know what we do to please this God. We know how to get the favor of this God. How do we get the favor of your God? I just want to help you walk through what's happening. How do we get the favor of your God? With this God, we have to give offerings. With this God, we have to kill something. With this God, we have to drink a lot of wine. With this God, a lot of immorality. With this God, and all these things. Okay, we got your God now. You call Him Elohim. You call Him Theos. You call Him Yahweh. How do we relate to your God? What's going to be your answer? How to relate to this God? The gospel of God. Now let me take you to the good news from this God. You want to come to this God? The only thing you have to do is faith in the one He sent. Isn't this beautiful? This is what the gospel of God is. It's God's good news, how to come to Him. And I picked these verses out. We could have done a lot more. Picked out a few verses. I want you to see how this fits with a Gentile thinking. How this fits and what Paul is doing and why it's one of Paul's favorite terms. And why wouldn't it be? What did Paul come for? Christ came for the Jew. Paul says He comes for the Gentile. And so, predominant in his terminology is the gospel of God. I'm going to tell you Gentiles about the true God. I'm going to tell you how to come to Him through the gospel. The good news of God. And what is that good news? He sent His Son. Believe on His Son. He goes to the cross work. I have you know, He told the Corinthians, very much in idolatry, I have you know one thing only, Christ crucified and resurrected. That's what I want you to know. That's the gospel of God. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Okay, now, the next one. I'm going to be too long because we want to do communion. So we'll stop here and resume here next Sunday morning. And I hope to finish up the Gospel of God next Sunday, not because I'm in a hurry, because this just to me is fabulous stuff. I'm having a world of fun studying this. And so thank you for being here this morning to hear it. So let's prepare ourselves for the communion. Communion is from God. He has given us this communion to do two things. We remember. You'll know, remember that remembering is all do this in remembrance. Do this in remembrance. Okay. There are a lot of things that happen in communion, people. One thing is remembering. With the bread, we're going to remember salvation won, our eternal life. How, under the gospel of God, He sent His Son that we could have eternal relationship with Him. Under the cup, it's still the gospel of God. Trust the one I sent. I sent my spirit. It's a new covenant. So it's a time to remember. But it's also a time of communion. Time of fellowship with God through His Son by means of His Spirit. It's time for you to just pause and think, what's my life about? December is always complicated in a lot of people's lives. I want to give more than I have money for. I don't have enough money for this. What do I get this? What do I do with this? I don't have time to go here. I got to go there. Traffic is atrocious. Oh, boy, at this time of the year, people always leave 20 minutes earlier than you ever did to go to church anywhere. Otherwise, your nerves are just going to be shot. And everybody's busy. People are rude. People are thoughtless. I don't have time for this. I don't have to. And let me tell you something. If you're a parent, this is when children are the worst. Not because they want to be. They're just hyper. This is an exciting time. This is an exciting time. Do you know why gentlemen prefer blondes? I know I'm in the spirit. I know I'm filled with the spirit. But you know why gentlemen prefer blondes? Let me tell you why. Because growing up, not so much today, but when that was popular, when's the most exciting time of a little boy's life? Christmas. What's the most exciting thing about Christmas? All those lights on that tree. And what's generally, way back then, what was generally always at the top of a Christmas tree? An angel with blonde hair. And little boys are grown up under that deception all their life. They grow up with that deception. That's what they are. See? And they're way up there. And they're above all the lights. It's an exciting time, people. So, you have to just think, what's all of this about now? Now, come back with me. What's this all about? People, it's about our walk with Him. It's about the gospel of God daily in our lives. It's about sharing with others, not so much things as the gospel of God. It's about our own witness of Him to the world. And this is a great time to give that witness out. So that's what the communion is. It's a reminder. It's also communion. Communion with Him. Communion with His Son. Communion with His Spirit. And then lastly, it's communion with each other. The household of God. Other believers. Encourage, pray, not judge and malign. Encourage, pray, restore if that's necessary. All these things. It's what the gospel of God is about. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served, that we might for fellowship together. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You so much for this opportunity to pause at the beginning of December, take a breath of sigh, and reflect what really is important, what our life is really about, not things. Oh, we can enjoy them, but they're not our happiness. Reflect on time and eternity and the relationship. A relationship with our husbands and wives and friends, family, the church. pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I now deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is our custom that everyone hold the cup until everyone has been served. Will you please stand? The cup you hold in your hand represents the new covenant. It represents how we're to live now that Christ is absent from the earth, face to face with the Father. He did not leave us as orphans. He sent us His Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to teach us. Paul writes in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let's turn in your hymnals to hymn number 111. Hope that everyone will stay and eat afterward. Hymn number 111. And then Jim Passmore will close in a word of prayer.
Survey the one cross. please. Father, we want to thank you for all your provisions, for your Son, the gift of the Holy Spirit, pastor to communicate this information to us, and we pray for safe travel for Herman and relaxing time for him, and just keep us all safe as we don't meet this week. Thank you for the food we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.